and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, internal medicine physician and addiction medicine specialist. I guess we're all still a little bit thrown for a loop here. Ed Kowalczyk is here from live, and I don't believe I've ever met Ed before. Have we ever met before?
We might have, I think, at some point. I did Loveline a couple years ago.
I don't think I was here.
No.
On radio.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
That was actually
like
more
four years ago. Yeah.
Now they're all running.
It had to be like six years ago.
What year was that? Anybody? Well, yeah.
I'm going 95, maybe.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe
could
94, because I think I was here in 95. But anyway.
I don't know.
Tonight, and you know, we were talking all last week basically about the tragedy and, you know, your feelings on that. And we're slowly starting to get back to normal with the normal Loveline format. But I think it's still a little too soon to completely get back to normal. I think we'll do what we did on Thursday, which is we'll mix them up. You might have some questions for Ed. You might have some questions about live. You might have some questions or comments about the recent tragedies. And you may have some broccoli growing from your penis. And we'll talk about all those things. Darren, your record guy, was telling me that you guys were in Minneapolis when the tragedy went down.
Oof. Yeah, we were, well, stranded up there. Actually, we got pretty quickly into the whole rental car scene because we were just dreading the idea of being struck in Minneapolis. So
I admire that. Darren was telling me that he had no idea what to do, but you said, let's get a rental car and hit the road, and you did it immediately.
Yeah, right to the bank machine and right to the Avis rental car. Yeah, boom.
And you just drove out to L.A., or where'd you drive
from? We just got back Thursday. It took us about 30 hours. We just drove straight.
Huh. Yeah, Darren's an okay guy in small doses, but I can't imagine being in a rental car with the guy for 30 hours.
We had a great time. It was actually a strange trip. I mean, because obviously, you know, the entire scope of the tragedy is starting to come down over the airwaves, and so we're in the heartland of America, you know, in southern Utah and Colorado and stuff, driving and listening to news radio the entire time, and just it was such a strange ride, and sort of cathartic.
And I imagine somewhat surreal, too. I mean, given
the scenery
and the open highway, and there's all of this dust and fire and congestion and bodies and devastation, and you guys are on some barren highway going through Utah.
Yeah, they're hitting Utah, and then, you know, I think there was a moment where, you know, the congressmen and senators, I guess, got together and sort of spontaneously broke into
God Bless America.
Yeah, God Bless America. And we were literally driving through one of these, you know, postcard areas of southern Utah, you know, just like, and it was just overwhelmingly emotional. Like, wow.
I went a little crazy with that. I was trying to get a flag this week.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if anyone tried to score a flag.
I thought you'd go and put a pole up in your backyard.
I looked into flag poles.
Okay.
Yes, I did, because I thought, you know what? When you got a flagpole in your house, you're either really old or you've arrived.
You're really rich, huh?
Yeah. And it kind of makes your house look like a ship. I was thinking, like a big flagpole out front. Like, and plus, people know your house. It's the flagpole guy, the guy at the flagpole. I looked into these flagpoles. You can get a 20-footer, 3-inch anodized aluminum tubing that tapers toward the top, a 3-inch aluminum anodized gold ball.
Yeah.
You get all the hardware. You get the flag. You get the nylon rope. You get the pulleys. You get the whole thing. Plus a 2-foot sleeve that you bury into the ground and the concrete to slide it into.
Nice.
$209.
Oh, wow. You doing it?
Yeah.
You're doing it?
Yeah, I got it.
Now
I ordered it.
With all this attention on the flag, now I've learned a little bit about flag protocol. Now, you're going to have to raise it and lower it every sunrise and every sunset.
Wait,
here's your other option. You have to shine a light on it if it flies constantly. So you have to have light that comes on.
I never knew that.
Yeah, it has to be lit, or else you have to bring it up and down, sunrise, sunset.
There's no sort of, I can't get some sort of written excuse from Gray Davis or something, to have an all-weather flag up there.
All-weather, sure, but no waiver for laziness and napping and all that.
I felt like a retard for not owning an American flag.
I don't have one either.
Do you not have one, Drew? Yeah. Did you have one? I felt stupid like buying one, but I couldn't find one.
Yeah.
And I finally, ironically, the only place you can buy a flag is on a corner out here in Los Angeles from a guy who does not have papers to be in this country. I mean, I ended up buying two flags that, like, you try to get onto your car antenna from a guy at a 76 station.
So you don't have the thing on the window.
I have a Tokyo Delves sushi restaurant T-shirt that has an American flag on it. That's like the only thing, which is kind of strange.
I got a pair of boxer trunks that I was like this close to hanging off of my house. I didn't know what to do, but yeah, I'm such a retard. I got the flag. I went to five places. I could not find a flag. I went to the hardware store. I went to the Save-Ons and the drugstores and the supermarket. Nobody had a flag. I finally see the guy out on the corner at the 76 station. He has the flag, but it's not the kind that the Lakers made famous,
right.
The kind that go into the window. This is just a hollow stick with a flag on the end of it, and I couldn't fit it onto my car antenna, so I stuffed it into the back door and slammed the door on it to keep it in there. Yeah, but it was hanging out, not vertically, but horizontally, and when I was driving down the freeway, it was just flapping, and it was pegged against, and I thought, and I kept looking at it in my rear view, and I thought, I'm going to kill somebody trying to get this flag positioned while I'm driving, and it's going to be very ironic. So anyway, I am getting a flagpole. I swear to Christ, I suggest everyone get a flagpole. All right, where were we? Ah, yes, live.
Yeah.
That's right. The CD is coming out September 18th.
Yep.
It's called Five. I was not surprised, actually, but I never really thought about it. I was reading the bio. 27 platinum albums?
Yeah, worldwide.
Jesus Christ.
We've been at it for a little while now.
Yeah, and selling a lot of records. I mean, I just, I knew you guys were big, and I knew you sold a lot of records, but I didn't know how many you sold.
After, The Distance to Here, the previous record to this one, we really started to sort of go there internationally. It started to really pick up for us all over the world. So the biggest record, obviously, sales-wise, was Throwing Copper, came out in 94, but... since then, we've grown really, really massive worldwide over the last 5 years. So that's fun.
Did Throwing Copper get to Europe and the rest of the world
same
time it got to us?
It did, but it still is our biggest record in the States, but not in Europe. Actually, in a lot of markets, The Distance to Here was even bigger.
Is the world situation going to change your travel at all?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it will. We're at this point, you know, because the record comes out. Five comes out on the 18th. There's all kinds of stuff. You know, you'd be doing promotion and that kind of thing. And so we're just really sort of in limbo, just kind of like waiting to see how this is all going to transpire. Because, you know, I mean, the whole idea of flying now is just that they're telling you 3.5 hours before international flights. That kind of, you know, just really throws a whole wrench in it.
Drew, I'm supposed to leave LAX on an 8 a.m. flight on Friday. So that means I should just sleep there because... we finish this show at midnight.
Yeah.
I mean, I should just start walking for LAX from the studio.
Yeah, just start walking. Because you can't drive a car in there anymore.
No, you can't. Yeah. But if you get a car, they can drop you off out front.
I don't know how late, though.
I don't know.
Oh,
I
just heard... limousine. Yeah, limousine.
Yeah, they drop you right at the terminal.
All right. Well, that's what I'll look forward to. I'll give you some dates, by the way, where you can find live coming up on their tour. And they have some with Jane's Addiction, which is pretty cool, too. Leah?
Hello.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
I was wondering, I started masturbating when I was like 15 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And like now my sexual drive is like really, really low.
Hmm. Do you still masturbate a lot?
Not as much as I used to when I was younger.
Hmm.
So what are you thinking? You just tapped yourself early?
I think so.
Like you had like 111 orgasms in you, and you used up like 94 of them before you graduated high school?
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't work like that.
No?
No. Look, orgasms, it's like snot or gas.
It just keeps coming.
Yeah, it just keeps coming. You wake up every day in your life with one of those eye boogers. Never runs out.
Yeah, and you men can change their sex drive by too much or too little, and women have some of that, but they're not as affected by it as men tend to be.
So, were you having orgasms when you were younger?
Yeah.
At 15.
Do you have a boyfriend now?
Yeah, I do.
Are you on any medication?
Uh-uh.
Why do you think your sex drive dropped off?
I think I was thinking because of that.
No, why else? Forget that.
That's about it.
Any problems in this relationship?
No.
Hmm. I want to just take this moment to tell all our listeners or anyone who calls the show, whatever you think anything is, move on to the next one.
Yeah.
I've sat here for 6 years, and whatever someone thought it was, it never have we ever there agreed is. With them?
No,
has ever been it?
First thought, never.
So just throw the first one out. Go right for the second one. All right, so does he give you an orgasm?
Yeah, but it's not like when we have sex and stuff, he has to like go down there.
Yeah.
That's normal.
That's about right.
That's normal, yeah.
I mean, you've never had one where you when you were having sex, right?
No.
Wait, you didn't?
Once, yeah, but I was like really dry, so I didn't really count that one.
Well, I would count it if I were you.
Go ahead and count.
I count all of mine, regardless of moisture level.
Yeah.
Hey, Leah, is there anything else we need to know about you?
Your history?
Not really.
Something up? Is your dad weird?
No, he's not.
You okay?
I'm fine.
You going to school?
Yeah.
Nice.
Anybody ever abuse you?
Well, yeah, when I was younger.
Uh-huh. Well,
What happened?
Well, I was, like, molested by, like, many people.
Many people.
All right, well, that's going to screw you up good.
Uh-huh.
You'll either be over-sexual or under-sexual. That tends to be that goes. It sort of tends to set you off in trajectories.
Right.
And you're going to have issues with sex because of that experience. You really need to get treatment for that.
Did you get any therapy?
Yeah, I've had it many times.
Okay.
Right. Well, obviously, people have identified that you're someone that needs that kind of intervention and help, and it's something that usually takes a long time to really work through, so stay with it.
Right. Absolutely. And that's what's doing it.
Yeah,
not that
absolutely.
You've tapped your orgasm reserve. All right, let's talk to Casey,
feels
who's 19.
Of surreal. It's more surreal being back to these kinds of calls than just about anything else.
It is very strange.
Yeah, you know, I know. Man? I know. Because, you know, I'm watching the news all the time now. I know we swear no more. It's driving me nuts, but
right.
I keep watching.
No.
Now you're getting all the human stories, and that's really tearing my heart out.
Heroin.
The human side of it is, you know, he called
Absolutely.
And we were talking to him and he told
and
me he loved
today,
me and oh.
The list today in the paper was unbelievable.
But that's the part that I needed. I needed that part and I've been watching that part since it first started, but I go back to it until I'm ill. And then I would go take care of myself for a couple mm-hmm. hours and feel better. Then I feel guilty for feeling good and desperately want to go back, make myself sick again.
Yeah. Right. It's and then there's the part that's just sort of like weird and strange and morbid all at the same time, which is like two of the guys they were looking for that were on the missing list at the Pentagon. Well, it turns out the reason they couldn't find one of the guys is because he was on the plane that hit the Pentagon.
Oh.
Which is like, talk about a bad day. It's like your plane's going into the ground. There's more. It's like, oh, what more does there need to be? No, there's more. It's going to go, you know, those folks you work with, it's going into that building. I mean, imagine you're on the plane that's going into your building. I would have thought that is impossible.
Did you hear the story?
Hold on. The other guy who's missing was missing from the Pentagon was on the plane that went into the Trade Center.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, like, just how freaky is that your plane went into your place of work? And that's why they couldn't account for
you. You know, the part that I just don't even go to is I fly a lot. Haven't even thought about that. I'm not giving that one thought.
Well, I got two strategies. One is, as Drew knows, I like to get pretty well lubricated when I fly. It's better for me, better for the staff. It's better for everybody.
It really is
just better for everybody. It's a tough 30 minutes until I pass out for the stewardesses and the people that work on the plane, but then it's easy for the next right. 5 hours because I'm just lying there, and all I have to do is scoop a little drool up every once in a while.
Strategy two?
My new strategy flying is I'm thinking, now, do I get more effed up? Which is going to be tough, but I think I can do it.
You keep yourself wired tight now, you know, you don't want to be.
Yeah, or do I wear, like, my stretch jeans and really start practicing, start boning up on the kickboxing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what state do you want to be in? I am going to just play the odds and go with more effed up.
Okay.
I would do.
That's my plan.
That's what I would do.
I'm also suddenly grateful for our experience with Fletch.
Oh, yeah.
Fletch from Pennywise was held as hostage in here.
Yeah, right.
And suddenly like, hey, let's warm up.
We know what it's like, yeah. Casey?
Yeah.
All right, you're 19. What's up?
Okay. First, I want to say, hey, Drew.
Casey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
How are you, Adam?
Good.
Okay, great.
Hey, say hi to Ed, too.
Hi.
Hi, Ed.
Hi.
I love your band.
Thank you, sweetie.
Okay. My question is, I've been having sex with my boyfriend, and it seems that I am, like, overwhelmed with juices. Like, it's, like, just too much for me.
No, he would be the one that would be overwhelmed, right?
Well, yeah, but it also affects me, too.
Why?
Well, I have no idea. Just the feeling changes.
Well, you lose sensation to a certain degree, don't
so
you?
So it's not good, right?
Right.
Not working. It's not that you're ejaculating, having a bunch of fluid towards the orgasm. It's a
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's actually, it's just like so much. It's like, I don't know, it really gets to me because afterwards I'm like, God, this is all my fault, you know?
Yeah, now see, did you hear the subtext there?
Yeah.
There was,
right.
I said, do you ejaculate? No, not at all. Meaning,
right.
Not getting to orgasms.
I orgasm.
All right. And then it's, it's all my fault.
Because sometimes we will have to stop because it just doesn't feel good anymore.
For you?
Yeah.
But it's not painful, is it?
No, not painful at all. It's just, God, I mean, it'll be like so much. It'll
right.
be a lot.
How do you get the orgasm? Is it through oral sex?
No. Well, both. I orgasm through both.
We're kind of confused, though.
No, I'm all right. I think we're on the same page.
Why does it become uncomfortable, then, if she's able to...
Yeah, I'm not sure why you would stop if you just almost had no sensation.
Well, I have sensation. I mean, it feels good, but it just... I don't know if it's his size or what. I don't know what it is, because it's never happened to me before.
Does he have a small size?
No, actually, he's the only one that... I've had sex with in the past 3 years that's been able to give me an orgasm.
I have super absorbent pubic hair that mops up that problem. It's like, you ever see that Bounty commercial? That's what my pubes are like, and it mops up all excess fluid down there. Really works. Yeah. Hey, Casey?
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot you can do about this. The good news is, and I know you feel bad about it, but you tell the guy you're very excited by him.
Yeah.
And this is why the juices are flowing.
Is he troubled by this?
Yeah, I am.
No, he. Is he troubled by this?
Yeah, sometimes.
See, I'm not clear what the problem is, because you're both having orgasm. He's happy. You're happy.
It sounds all good.
Yeah, everyone's lubricated.
Yeah, where specifically? Are you embarrassed? Are you ashamed? What is the problem?
I don't know. I just think it's my fault.
What is your fault?
Your fault that?
No, that may be... I'm not as tight as I used to be, and plus with the extra juices, it's not that great.
No. For him or for you?
For him.
Okay. Hey, has he complained?
Yeah.
Do you have a extensive sexual history?
Yeah. I've had sex for the past 3 years.
Right. But see, you know what I think what's going on here?
What?
I think you're a little freaked out about your past, or maybe a little... Would you shut up? You're a little ashamed about it. And I think he may have some energy in that department. It's all
you're taking that
funneling
on.
Into the vagina. I mean, that's what it's become, like a symbol for that.
And is he?
I mean, you were talking about being loose and
maybe because
no, there's no such thing.
But
there's
maybe
no
because
thing.
You had too much sex with other people.
Maybe
there's no such thing, Casey. No such thing. No such thing. Is he not able to have an orgasm?
Yeah, he orgasms, but. I don't know. It's just I've never talked to anyone about it.
Does he have any energy about the other guys you've been with?
No.
He doesn't care at all.
He orgasms, but what?
What was that?
He orgasms, but.
But sometimes it just.
Hold on, Drew. You may have inadvertently stumbled onto the answer when you said but.
I understand.
Twice
I was
hard.
Going there. It's fine.
That's something that will
thank
not...
Thank you for pointing
thank
out
you.
My subject.
Did you hear that, Casey?
But listen. He orgasms.
Yes.
Ass.
And?
I mean, and.
And what's the problem?
Well, I don't know.
What does he complain about?
Right,
wait, no, I got to know.
Listen, don't care. Don't care. She's having orgasms. He's having orgasms. There's plenty of lube to go around.
Yeah. All right.
There's people
see, I think he's,
who don't have
see,
lube. Do you understand?
See,
she's hogging all the lube.
Yeah.
People have to buy. It's a multi-million-dollar-a-year industry.
I think that he is having problems with some sort of sexual function. He's blaming it on her, and she's taking it all on.
Whatever it is, there has to be more here than meets the ear.
Because it's not what she's talking about.
But I cannot beat on her for another 10 minutes to get that out of her.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Somebody ought to bottle real lube, because there's women.
Oh God!
I'm not sure it would be called real lube then, would it?
I think it would be a good name, a good product. First real off, lube. You could sell a million cases a year just for guys to whack off. You know what I mean? Just guys just sniffing it and rubbing it on their nipples and stuff like that.
Oh, but my God.
Guys would do that. Guys would buy that. But it's real
but
lube.
It's real.
This is what your body produces. We have essentially tapped women who produce too much of it. We're doing a favor to them because we're siphoning off this byproduct.
We've wrung out Mr. Corolla's super absorbent pubes, and this is the product that ensues.
Drew, I think I may have just come up with a superhero. Mr. Super Absorbent Pubes. Yeah, like the dam has burst. What are we going to do? Let's get Mr. Super Absorbent Pubes in. I'm just throwing these things around. The other idea I had over the weekend.
I feel sick and guilty.
Have they ever invented, those water wings for the kids?
Yeah.
I was thinking of ankle wings for like kids who weren't that wild about. You know what I mean?
Keep them upside down in the water?
Yeah, like that step kid that was causing you trouble. I was just thinking about that.
Good times.
All right. We are going to take ourselves a little break. We will come back and speak to Jimmy, who's 17. He's been with three girls, has not had an orgasm. Wants to know what's wrong. Drew's pager's going off. And we'll
unacceptable.
Hear, I think we'll hear something from the new Live 5 CD when we come back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Ed Kowalczyk is our guest tonight. I just found out it's almost a neighbor of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talked to... It's a weird thing. There's so many people I run into who live up in the part of the city that I live in, and I never see them. Or maybe I do see them, and I don't
just
know.
Yeah.
Except for that Margaret Cho. Her I see. Yeah. She comes gunning for me.
No, she's in recovery now, right?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I see Gary Oldman up there.
You don't look
really?
So good anymore.
Yeah. I saw him driving the other day.
Gary Oldman's up there?
Yeah, I've seen him 3 or 4 times. I'd see him at the diner, too. He must live up there.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to get a list. I should be able to hang out with these guys. We should hang out. I'm definitely the lowest celebrity up on that list, but I still think just because of proximity, we should be able to hang out.
Absolutely.
I had Kathy Bates used to live next to me, but she promptly moved out when I moved in. And now, who'd I get in there? Oh, what the hell? John Cryer.
Oh, is John Cryer?
Yeah, but that's no Kathy Bates. All right, we're going to hear something off of Live's new CD, which is not out yet, the 18th of October, correct? Or 17th?
September. Coming up
here. I'm sorry. Oh, I was looking at another October. Oh, the tour starts in October.
Yeah, we're going out with Jane's Addiction for half their tour starting October 2nd. The album is September 18th.
I know there's a lot of... I mean, I was one of these people that liked Jane's Addiction but had never seen them live and wasn't quite sure what to expect, but they're good.
Yeah.
And they're impressive.
I've never seen them in concert. I saw them do some MTV thing, I guess the 20th anniversary thing, just a couple songs, but seemed pretty good.
Yeah, I saw them at the K-Rock Weenie Roast this summer, and it was, they're very good.
Right. There could be some funky smell coming from your job, I'm not kidding you.
Who was that?
Perry Farrell.
Oh my God, okay.
Thank you. All right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much.
Jimmy's not a virgin.
No. What's your question, Jimmy?
I've had sex with 3 different girls, and they've never made me orgasm or anything.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think that is?
I have no clue, because, like, one of them, me and her did it for, like, an hour and a half, and that...
Do you have
like,
a problem when you masturbate?
Nuh-uh.
Uh-uh. And wait a minute. Have you ever had one of these girls as a girlfriend?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Yeah.
No.
Well, listen, everybody. If the answer is yes, say it like it's yes.
Yeah, it's no.
Is it no or yes?
Yes.
How long did you go out with her?
About 4 months.
And did you have sex with her a number of times?
Yes.
And no orgasm?
No.
And how many times do you think you've had sex with her?
Probably about 20.
And
hold on, I'm going to go out to the car and get a Quaalude so I can relax with Jimmy
to
over
connect
here.
With him a little bit.
Jimmy, how much national radio do you actually do? Do you have your own syndicated show?
Mostly from his bed.
Here's what drives me nuts about this show. Aren't you supposed to be nervous and a little bit manic when you're on the air?
Yeah.
We get guys who've been like sucking on ether and cold 45 all day, and they're like, yeah. Hold on. Everyone's watching TV. They're like, huh? Oh, hold on. Let me turn down.
This may be part of the problem with Jimmy.
Jimmy,
you on any medication?
No.
You been depressed?
Kind of about this deal.
Do you do drugs or alcohol when you're having sex with them?
No.
Do you have any history? Do you do that generally, drugs and alcohol?
No.
I'm getting depressed.
Are you circumcised?
Jimmy. No.
Wait a minute, I got to process that now. You're not circumcised?
Nope.
I see.
And when you masturbate, there's no problem?
No.
How long does it take you when you masturbate?
About 10 minutes.
Are you anxious when you're with these women? Are you nervous?
I ain't nervous.
Hold on a second, though. If you masturbate as fast as you could, 10 minutes is as good as you could do?
No, if I do it real quick, it's about 5 minutes.
Okay. And I think, here's what you need to do, Jimmy. You need to yourself a girl.
Take some thyroid hormone.
No, find yourself a tree sloth to date. The only creature on Earth that moves slower than Jimmy. You need to find yourself a girl and start getting into a groove with her.
Yeah, I think so. The
problem with guys, especially 17, is they bounce around a little bit and they can never find that break-in girl. That one where all the different... We all remember who it was. For me and Drew, it was the same girl. Drew ended up marrying her. Where we try all the different positions, where we take the showers together. You remember when you were
absolutely.
Remember like when you were fantasizing about sex? And then you would also sometimes think about all that other part, like, am I going to be taking a shower with a chick? Like, we're going to be nude? Like, she's going to let me look at her nude?
And you finally get that one where you start to do all that.
Right.
Get there.
And you work it out, and you completely get your confidence. It's like some kind of basic training for your penis. But if it's 17, think about this. If you, at 16, 17, 18, whatever, just bounced around, one night stand to one night stand to one night stand, 5 years could go by. You wouldn't know what you were doing.
Exactly.
Because you can't get into all that weird stuff on a couple of dates.
You'd be anxious, too, the whole time. You'd be nervous,
right.
Not clear about that.
Right. He needs his confidence builder.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Let's take one more call, and then we'll hear something from the new live CD. Thomas?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah, I had a question for Ed.
Hey.
I'm a huge fan of your music.
Thank you.
Me and my fiance. And actually, I just wanted to let you know that the first song we're going to dance to at our wedding is Dance With You.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I was wondering, are you going to have any tour dates on the West Coast?
Yeah, we are. We're going to, after we finish up with Jane's Addiction, I think the 23rd of October, and then we're scheduled to be, I think, at the Wiltern. Here in L.A. sometime in November, so just keep posted to the website or something for that.
We've got St. Paul on the 23rd, Chicago on the 21st, let's see, Pittsburgh 19th, Detroit on the 20th is all of October, New York the 15th, you're going to do Madison Square Garden still?
Yeah.
And then off to Europe. And then Washington, D.C. on the 6th, so that's coming up first. This is sort of written backwards.
Yeah.
Philadelphia on the 3rd. Atlanta
on the
8th.
Coast. I don't know if the West Coast is totally confirmed yet, but I'm pretty sure the Wiltern sometime in November.
You ever been to the Wiltern, Thomas?
No, I've been to maybe one or two concerts in my whole life.
The Wiltern's a great old Art Deco theater, and its name is sheer genius. It's on Western in Wilshire, so hence the Wiltern. Genius. I wonder how many guys really sat around and worked on that.
Wow.
Very practical, though. It's a great old theater, though. And it's big and it's cool. And it's a good size. It's nice because it's like...
It's a great place.
It holds a lot of people, but it's sort of...
It's not
huge. A big balcony and it's kind of intimate at the same time.
Have fun with Dance With You. Congrats, man.
We'll hear something from the new live CD. This is off of 5, which will be out September 18th. And this one is called Overcome. That is... Overcome from Live off of 5, which is the new CD that is out September 18th.
This may become the theme song for the rescue efforts or recovery efforts.
Seems to be spontaneously just coming alive that way, and people are just really finding something in it that
I wonder helps.
Well, how did this get going?
Yeah, how'd they get it?
Well, what we did was straight away, we got a couple calls. A couple radio stations had just had the album and started to play it, and people started to call and like, wow, what is that song? And then it's just sort of this swell happened, and we put the song up on our website for free as a download, just as our sort of gift to kind of say, hey, you know, if this is helping, check this song out, you know. And actually Friday night, a guy that works for a company called CameraPlanet.com took the MP3 from our site, well, heard Overcome on K-Rock the other day, and took the song from our site and actually grabbed some of the handheld footage of the rescue workers at the site of the World Trade Center and put it together, and actually I think emailed it as some sort of file to VH1, who added it, and they've been playing it like twice a day, and it's just incredibly moving. It's wild.
And you know, I was just thinking as you were telling the story, it's like how a movie soundtrack can become very popular and very poignant, very powerful, because there's images and there's a feeling that you have that goes along with the music. Whereas when there's no feeling that goes with it, you're sort of absent.
You're disconnected,
that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just the looks. I mean, there's, you know, maybe four or five faces actually in the, you know, in the video of a nurse and a firefighter, and it's the looks on their faces that you just can't, you know, you can't imagine the struggle, and it's just, yeah, it's an incredibly moving piece.
All right, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back. We'll get to more of your calls and your questions and your comments, and we'll talk about live, and we'll hear something else from them and all that after this.
Loveline.
It's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Ed Kowalczyk is here from Live 5 is the name of the CD out September 18th. And we'll hear something else off of that CD in the next hour. Let's speak to Chloe, who's on Line 5. Chloe? Chloe?
Yes, hello.
You're 18. What's up?
Yes, I was wondering, last night I gave my boyfriend a blowjob for the first time, and when I left the room to go spit, I don't know if he touched himself or not, and if he did, afterwards he finger-banged me, and I was wondering if I could get pregnant from that.
Oh, I see.
You mean if you hadn't sort of taken it all up, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, anything's possible. You have all these scenarios whereby a wayward sperm could get loose and land on a hand, and a hand touched the wrong place. But it's very unlikely, obviously. I mean, Chloe, you can use your imagination as well as we can, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe better.
Yeah, probably better.
But listen, if you are pregnant because he scratched himself and then gave you the finger, that is the golden child. You understand?
Yeah, we need children like this. But if you should choose
that is the Messiah. You hang on to that kid.
If you should choose to avoid...
And I would wear that, like a badge of honor if I was that kid. Guess who I got here? Finger bang, baby.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And you can consider the morning after pill if having the Messiah is not a priority in your life.
Okay, how exactly does that work? Do you just take the pill and then you have your period?
Well, the Jews believe... No. Oh, what's she talking about?
How the Messiah works.
The Jews believe that Christ was not the Messiah, that he hasn't come yet.
The morning after pill.
Oh, the morning after pill.
Well, the Jews have nothing to do with the morning after pill, though some of them are affiliated with some of the pharmaceutical companies that put it out. Is that correct?
The attorneys that
represent those pharmaceutical companies. Is that what you're asking, Clyde?
And accountants, too.
Accountants and attorneys.
But listen, it's a pill. There are various birth control pills that can be used in the same manner as products that have been devised specifically for post-coital contraceptive or emergency contraception. It's called Preven or Plan B, and you need to take it within 3 days of this unprotected event.
Yeah.
And you take another pill 12 hours later, and it prevents the pregnancy with about a 70% probability. It's very, very good and very effective. It's not an abortion pill.
Yeah.
All right, we're just talking about suppressing ovulation so that sperm that was on his hand can't get to the egg. Or at least the egg isn't available for that sperm, all right? Hey, from these...
But we doubt it was on his hands.
On to something else. We have not had to talk to anybody from Seattle in the last couple of days. How are things up in Seattle?
Kind of cloudy, actually.
No, all right. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
And what is it about 68?
Wind out of the west?
Coming in at what, 8-10 knots? Okay.
Thanks, Floyd.
It's cloudy.
That's Loveline Callers. I'm proud to be an American.
Yep.
So, well, Chris is from Seattle. Let's talk to him.
The country's getting back to normal pretty quick. Chris?
Yeah, hey there.
You're 16?
Hey, I just wanted to talk to Ed from last...
Hey, first tell us how things are in
How's
Seattle.
How's the weather in Seattle?
No, how are people taking things in Seattle?
Actually, Seattle's, I think we're hanging on here. Everyone really has a community sense, and they're all flying their flags and everything.
I would think Seattle and San Francisco would be vulnerable cities to this kind
Absolutely.
Of thing.
Yeah, that's good. Freak them out.
And hey, my dad's a weatherman up here. He says it's fine.
Well, you know what? In a way, think about this, and don't take this wrong as someone who's listening from Seattle or San Francisco, but part of what makes it so easy for these folks to sort of navigate around our country is we've done away with a lot of these laws. I mean, the ACLU has gotten on board and said you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do the other. There's probably more sympathizers to those causes living in that region of the United States.
Really?
Well, do you know what I mean?
To the ACLU and to the liberal causes, yes, but not to these extremes.
No one is backing terrorism directly, but what I mean is if you...
Profiling you can't do, for instance.
What I'm saying, I'm sure this isn't that well thought out, but I never do think before I speak, so here it goes. That part of the country is a fairly liberal part of the country,
right.
And these are the people who say, look, it's unfair to do profiling, it's unfair for the CIA to hire guys who have a criminal background to work as operatives in these countries because they may have had human rights violations and so on and so forth. You would not want to piss off that part of the country if you were terrorists,
because those
would think.
Yeah, those are
the people. Those are the voices.
Those are the ones that create the conditions that allow you to operate.
Yeah, it's very liberal.
I know it sounds very offensive to anyone living in Seattle or the Bay Area, but in a way, that's not the area you want to miff off.
You know what I thought was interesting? How does the NRA look now?
Like geniuses.
Isn't that interesting? Not like geniuses, but it doesn't look... They don't look the same anymore.
They look so bad anymore.
Well, it's like, that's right. That is one of the conditions this country needed to exist. And pow, here we are again.
Mm-hmm. Right, but Chuck Heston was worried about our government.
I understand.
Pakistan.
I understand.
Go ahead.
Afghanistan, please.
Sorry. Go ahead there. Hey, listen, anything with that Stan at the end, I'm against. When I hear that, I know it's a troubled country.
Anybody named Stan?
Any guy named Stan? Hot dog Stan. Anything with Stan at the end of it.
All right, Chris.
Go ahead.
For Ed.
I just want to say I saw live last time they came up to the Gorge here.
Cool.
And it was just amazing. It was like a religious experience. It was so amazing.
The Gorge. Eastern Washington there?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's right in central Washington.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It's like a big open air area. It's great. And you guys are just amazing. And I wanted to know if you guys are ever going to do a tour with REM. I think it'd be a great combination.
Oh, I agree with you. No, we've actually came close to playing a show with REM once a few years ago, but it never came about. But I mean, God, they're one of my favorite bands of all time.
Oh, me too.
I would definitely do it at the drop of a proverbial hat.
Yeah, that'd be a good lineup. Are they from Pennsylvania? Where are they
they're
from?
Athens, Georgia.
Oh, Georgia, that's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was really amazing. And are you guys going to come up to Seattle anytime soon again?
Yeah, we're making our way west in November, so just stay posted to our website there, friendsoflive.com, and check out as it comes together.
Cool, I've heard a few songs off the new CD that you guys had up on your website. They're really good.
Thank you.
And, Adam and Drew, I love you guys, too. You do an amazing show.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris, thanks a lot.
One of our 16-year-old callers that sounds 32.
Right, as opposed to the ones that are 32 that sound 16, which is our normal call on this show. Ashley?
Hi.
You're 15.
What's up? Adam and Dr. Drew, just want to say you guys are great.
Thanks.
And for live, you're awesome, too.
Thank you.
Okay, well, a couple of days ago, I had sex for the first time with my boyfriend. And, I guess he popped my cherry because there was, a lot of blood involved everywhere.
Right.
And then,
Did it hurt?
What?
Did it hurt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but, I still have, blood sometimes. Like, today I noticed there's still some more.
That's all right. When's your period due?
Like in a week.
This can sometimes make that come a little earlier. So maybe
wouldn't it be a coincidence because I had sex like a couple of days ago?
No, the period, having sex can make your period come early.
Oh.
So it may be sort of starting to come on here a little bit with you. Or it could be, you could still get some bleeding left over from the rupture. So,
did you use any kind of protection?
Yeah, we used protection.
Cool. Okay.
All right. Just relax.
It's going to be okay?
It's going to be okay, but it is important that you get regular pelvic exams. You are sexually active now, so you got to go get checked out anyway. So they can tell you what's going on. No, not that. Yes, that's what you got to do. You've got to, really. That if you're sexually active, the risk of cervical cancer goes up, and it's important, really important.
All right, Ashley?
All right, thanks.
You have a doctor? Huh?
Or, yes. Or some Planned Parenthood or student health, something.
Well, I was going to, like, call them today, but supposedly they're closed, so I don't really know. I have to wait till tomorrow or
Where?
Something. Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, okay, that's fine. You'll be all right.
All right?
Okay, thanks.
All right, take care.
Yeah, they're not open on Sunday. That's the day they worship the devil. That's the only twist. People don't realize that devil worshipers worship on Sunday as well. It's a little confusing. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Ed is here from Live. We'll hear something off the new 5 CD when we come back. Also speak to Tony, who's 43, has an idea on how to improve chances of survival on airplanes. You know what I love about these calls?
They never pay.
Whatever it is, it won't be worth anything.
Well, let's hear about when we get back.
Why don't you climb inside that black box? That thing seems to make it just fine. Okay, thank you, genius. We'll be back.
All right, guys, here's the deal.
Dateline.
You're looking to hook up, sick of wasting time with the wrong person?
Dateline.
One call is all you need to make. Call the Dateline. 877-889-DATE.
Call the Dateline.
Oh, yeah! Everybody now!
Yes, I will be right back.
Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew up there and over there. I was looking up, so I said he was up there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ed Kowalczyk is here from Live. The CD is coming out September 18th. That is called 5. We will hear something else off of that CD during this break. Wait a minute. Are we in the break? During the segment. Thank you. I've got to get hip to the lingo. If you want to find out more about Live's tour dates and where you can find them and will they be with Jane's Addiction on this date or that date and all that stuff, you can just go onto their website, right?
Yep.
Which is?
www.friendsoflive.com.
Well, no space.
No space. It's just Friends of Live.
All right. And that'll tell you where they're going to be. Okay. And other things. Tony?
Yes.
Ooh, you're 43?
Yes, I am.
You're calling from Ohio. What's happening? Yes.
I'm in Drew's favorite city, Cincinnati.
Well, I like Cincinnati. Just that, boy, there's a lot of hostility. I thought when this whole thing went down, I wonder what's going on in Cincinnati. Is that bringing people together?
It's the whole world. It's the whole world. It's so much disrespect to one another and putting up with, seeing bad things and pushing it under the carpet and so on and so forth. It's just we got to wake up and start treating people right and equal. And
But are they doing that in Cincinnati finally?
Well, some of us are.
All right, good.
It's hard. It's kind of you feel like you're the only one trying sometimes. But there's more good people out there than bad, and it's going to triumph over evil, and we all know this. I have a couple statements. First of all, the job you guys do is fantastic. Second of all, if we could save a life in an aircraft, or like either you or Dr. Drew, you could perfect farting, and he could maybe perfect behavioral diagnoses and cure people if we could just save one life.
Yeah, Tony, basically Adam and I ought to become air marshals. We're each with our own technique, our own little particular craft.
We need some kind of safety device, right?
I have been stopped at metal detectors for gas.
Yeah.
Before. Yeah, apparently there's a high metallic rate to it. I need a lot of iron or something. All right, Tony. You're doing God's work over there in Ohio.
Not really, but we're trying. I got to the Arab Americans in the country. They have to now work real hard into combating this, and all Americans from within, covertly. When you hear something like they did in World War II, report it and work on it. It's only going to work from within to combat this terrorism.
We're with you.
But, I think the problem is whereas let's say your average American may be a Christian or Catholic, your average, you know, round eyes, I like to call them, white guy. We don't know what the hell the guys who are in the militias are doing, or the guys who are planning on shooting the abortion doctors are doing. I mean, it's almost it's almost equivalent.
Yeah.
Would you have? It's not like all white guys know when there's a hit on an abortion doctor.
Right.
You have zero idea, and it's the same with the Arab Americans when there's a terrorist strike.
Among them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like they all meet at some universal mosque or something that they circulate a flyer on. All right. Let's Brian.
Yes.
You're 26. What's up?
Well, just a quick curious question. First of all, I'd like to say hello to Ed.
Hey.
I love your music.
Thank you.
It's awesome. Dr. Drew and Adam, you guys are doing awesome work. And if more people would actually listen to what you're doing, you wouldn't have any listeners.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
We do ourselves out of a job.
Yeah, that's right. I was wondering if there's any other reason besides a VD that it would burn when I pee.
Many, many. One is a bladder infection, though that would be more common in a woman. Another could be a prostate infection. Generally, burning at urination is urethral inflammation or infection, which typically is an STD, though there are bacterial causes for that. And there are mechanical problems, and stones even can sometimes cause these sorts of things. So there are definitely lots of reasons other than a VD.
Oh, okay. Well,
so, got it checked out.
But you have a VD.
Yeah. 26-year-old's VD.
Yeah.
No. Can't possibly.
Then a STD. Excuse me. That's the more politically
correct. Right.
By the way, PC is going out the window. That's nice.
Thank God. Yeah.
That can't be. I've been married for 6 years, and I've only slept with my wife.
Okay.
All right. You probably just have a bacterial urethritis. You ought to talk to your doctor about that. That you both can be treated. It's not necessarily, you know, a classic sexually transmitted disease, but you both could have a bacteria that could be causing you some problems.
I pulled one of my signature moves on the toilet today where I was sitting down going number two and peeing at the same time.
Yeah, that's never happened before, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, Adam.
Now, here's where the Corolla signature move comes in. When the urine stream goes through the crack between the toilet seat and the top
pants.
Of the bowl,
gets your pants.
Hugs the contour of the toilet bowl and fills my pants like a pail underneath the toilet, and you never notice it. You never notice it because, A, it makes no... It's a silent killer.
It's silent killer. It's just too late.
It doesn't make any noise. After a while, you start to wonder, how come I don't hear anything hitting the water?
Mm-hmm.
It's too quiet.
Yep.
And the next thing is it's always obviously body temperature, and it's hugging just the contour of the toilet, defying gravity, going into the pans. You never feel it. I want to invent a little flap that hangs down there, much like
mud flap.
Steve Yeager used to wear one of these things, the Dodger great catcher. He got hit in the Adam's apple with a pitch or two too many. So he invented this thing. It looked like a plastic shoehorn. It hung from the bottom of his catcher's face mask and protected his neck.
They all have that now.
I would like to see something hanging from the front of this toilet.
Isn't there a website you can go on where you can patent that? Like right now, you can sort of do a...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got to look into this. Yeah.
The thing is, though, Mr. Corolla, for most males, the dork sort of hangs, it's long enough that it hangs down towards the water, you see.
And
it doesn't go out
that's
straight out like a tortoise spitting.
I hesitated to tell the story on the air, but once in a while, it's in its sort of turtle phase, and it's not getting the kind of dangle that you would enjoy. Do you know what I mean? It's not always
it's cold.
That way.
It's cold.
Whatever it was, straight out, straight through the crack, right into the pants. Very frustrating. Ashley?
Yeah.
You're 13?
Yeah.
What's up?
Like, I had, like, this guy for, like 4 weeks, and I had been telling, like, my best friend about this the entire time.
Wait, you liked him for 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've liked him for 4 weeks.
This is somebody in your school, your age?
Yeah. He's 13, too.
Right.
14, one or the other. And... like, I had been telling my best friend, Stephanie, like, everything had been going on, you know, like, how I liked him and stuff. And he had a girlfriend, like, the second day of school. And, like, they had just broke up. And I had told my friend that, and I'm like, I'm going to try and see if he'll go out with me. Because he set me up with his best friend. And it was really weird. And
he did?
Yeah, he set me up. The guy that I like set me up with his best friend.
When he had a girlfriend?
Yeah.
That's sometimes a move of interest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I thought... Yeah.
Adam, you know what I'm saying? Usually it's a bad sign, but...
But it can mean
it
something.
It can mean something.
It's an interesting move, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought he liked me because he was always flirty, too.
All right.
And, like, my best friend, like, told me all of a sudden she liked him. Like,
is that that bitch Stephanie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That she liked him. Like,
oh, that's Stephanie. Yeah, I told you about her, Adam. I told you.
I know, I know.
She's, like, longer than I have. And then, like, all of a sudden he has interest in her, and he asks her out, and now they're going out.
Wow.
And, like, I was mad at her.
Right.
And, like, now, like, she was, like, crying because I was mad at her.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know what to do.
Well, here's the thing. Hey, we get into this from time to time.
I can't. I'm thinking about the World Trade Center.
I know, but let's prioritize for a second here, Drew. There's a 13-year-old who does not have a date. Usually, and I think we've all done this when we were younger, and we knew people that did this, which is, we know the reality is that if he was really into Ashley,
that's who he'd be seeing.
He would see Ashley. Yeah. But that's a hard thing. That's a bitter pill to swallow at 13. And it's much easier to say, this Stephanie swooped in, took my guy. We had a thing that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. If it were not for Stephanie, things would have worked out.
But
he set you up with his friend, and he must have known how you felt. I mean, he knew.
He knows how I feel right now.
Well, my point is
he would have gone
for it. If he was into you.
Yeah.
He would have let you know that.
He would have gone for it when he was still available.
I mean, this is not a good thing for your friend to do, but it's not like she interrupted your relationship with him.
It probably wasn't going to happen. There is a little sort of emotional flexibility that goes on between like 10 and 14.
Yeah.
Because what forms attractions and all that is sort of getting going.
Not too much, though. Ashley?
Yeah.
I don't think he was into you.
As much.
Right. I mean, you have a sense of that, don't you?
Oh, well, yeah, because, like, I'm, like, not, like, really his type.
Right. There you go.
He's, like, I wrote him a letter, and I'm, like, I like you a lot. And he's, like, well, you're, like, short, and you're a gothic, and you do drugs and stuff, and that's why he doesn't like me.
Well, there you go. That's it.
Well,
he spelled it out for you.
He says he still wants to be my friend.
Yeah, but he spelled it out for you. He made it absolutely clear. If you'd like to change those aspects of yourself, which it sounds like it would not be such a bad idea to change.
Well, I'm all right with the goth and the drugs, but I'd like to see you taller. Can we focus on that?
Yeah, well, I'm like 4'8", and he's...
That's what I'm talking about. Now, those drugs will probably make you taller, right, Drew?
No.
No.
I make you stay small.
Hey, Ashley?
Yeah.
Well, maybe this is a good time to reevaluate the drugs and the goth scene, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not working for you. It's hurting you.
Okay? Yeah. All right, now, you can be mad at your friend Stephanie for being your friend and taking this guy... But don't accuse her. Don't look at it in your mind as I would have been with him had Stephanie not swooped in.
Because he's made it completely clear.
He was not interested in you.
Completely clear to the contrary.
All right, but here's the other news. This happens all the time. Not everyone's interested in everyone. There are guys out there that are interested in you. And your job is to find that guy, or that guy's job is to find you.
That's right.
All right?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. Maybe it's tough, you know, it's old hat for us. You know, I realize I'm amazed that anybody ever likes me after the countless people that don't like me. You know what I mean? I mean, women.
Oh, yes. Oh, I know
women,
what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. When you're young, I think all you have is like your parents and your friends and your grandparents. And they're telling you how cute you are.
Yeah,
and they're telling you how you'd be a great catch for anybody and all that kind of nonsense. And the reality is maybe you're not. And I think when it starts to come in around 13, 14, 15, that maybe everyone's not into you, that's a pretty bitter pill to swallow.
Sure.
But as you get older, you get a little perspective and you realize, all right, I don't get everybody. I get a couple of people. If I start a band,
you get older,
I get more
you
people.
You start to recognize sort of the signs, too, that you don't get when you're younger. You know, you sort of like, oh, yeah. The way that she just kind of glanced was like, wow, I think she might dig me here. You know what I mean? You get that sense of things.
Now, right. Let's be real here, Adam. You felt like crap starting at 12. You didn't actually have that feeling that everyone would be into you. You just...
Oh, did I? No, I was...
You knew other people had that.
I was shooting for 5%.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And and was disappointed when I found out the actual number was into the decimals.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And now we're all experts and we're all retired, so it doesn't... it, we can do no good. I don't know. We should talk to your wife about coming out of retirement. I mean, think about what you know now, Drew, about women. Think about how easy it'd be. Think how easy it'd be for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Life would have been a lot easier if I had been born at 40. Too bad I had no will to live now.
Think about how hard you're working, like in your mid-20s, wearing your stethoscope around out on Friday nights so chicks knew. Having your friends page you and say that was the hospital. Meanwhile, the guy's at the Red Onion at a phone booth calling you, right? All right. Let's talk to Andrew, who's 18. Andrew?
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, hey. What's up?
Is Ed still there?
Yeah.
Hey,
I like your music, man.
Thank you.
You know, pretty good stuff to listen to. Well, anyway, about a couple weeks ago, my girlfriend got an abortion, but I didn't know about it. And, you know, well, first of all, of course, I would have been against it if she told me anyway. But I want to know if, you know, there's any risk that she has right now. Maybe if it was done wrong, or maybe a depression she could get into.
Well, did she have it done by a professional? She had it done at an abortion clinic, right?
Yeah.
And she had a surgical abortion?
See, that's the thing I'm not sure is because this happened a long time ago. She told me that she was pregnant.
Hold on a second. Andrew, you're very confused. You have to stay focused here.
Wait. Well, surgical as opposed to a chemical.
Pill. Yeah, they can do these. You know, they can take the abortion pills now.
Uh-huh.
And this happened when?
Approximately 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago she had an abortion. And you don't know whether it was surgical or medication.
I'm not sure, but maybe you can help me out. She was about 2.5 months.
And it can be either way still. Now, it seems fine now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If she were to have had infection or bleeding or those sorts of complications, that would have happened by now. The mood disturbances, certainly that is still somewhat of a risk, and she may not be telling you really about how she's feeling. You know, I was thinking the other day, I've yet to talk to a woman who, you know, give me her history, and I don't care how old she is. When it comes to the point that she's, you know, how many times you've been pregnant? I've 3 times. How many children do you have? 1. What happened to the other 2? I mean, you get this huge reaction. They, like, don't want to talk about it. I had 2 abortions. I'm all screwed up about it still 20 years later.
Right.
I mean, women, you don't really prepare women for, I don't know what it is, whether or not it's a psychological effect of some aspect of themselves as a woman, or whether there really is some biological mechanisms that makes them feel that disconnection from something they're biologically connected to. Whatever it is, it's a very profound effect that women need to be prepared for.
I think you have to I think there's a mechanism in all human beings when we've been talking about the disaster and everything. You talk to these ambulance drivers, these firemen, they're able to disconnect from their environment,
their job,
to do their job in a way. And if your job, I mean, if you want to get an abortion, you better be able to sort of disconnect.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to have a nervous breakdown.
If you start thinking about the reality of it. And
I think that we have fed women a lot of crap where you're kind of like a man.
Yeah.
We've tried to turn them into men, and you can have sex, and you can have fun, and they're not like men. I mean, they have emotions that run deeper.
They're different.
And I think a lot of women try to convince themselves that they would not have some of the feelings that they have,
exactly.
And they do have them.
Exactly. And then some truly get depressions that, again, can be precipitated by these tremendous biological changes that women go through from the state of being pregnant to not pregnant. It's a tremendous change, and that lets them down biologically, quite literally, and you have to watch out for that.
All right, but she's all right physically.
Yeah.
And, Andrew, you need to not give her a hard time about not telling you right now.
No, yeah.
Support her. And just support her.
And then that's why he's calling. He wants to know.
Right. They sound like
put one on hold,
guy.
Please. Line 1 on hold. Thank you.
All right. I don't think they're doing
that.
Here's
the new rule.
What?
Don't start writing the call up on the board until you put them on hold.
Okay. Go ahead. Yelling at Damon over there? Yeah. Nicole?
Yeah.
Drew, you turned into a major asshole since you started doing this show. You were so nice before you met me.
Before I met you. Yeah, that's since I started the show
you.
Since I met you.
Yeah, you're worse than I am.
Asshole.
Thank you. You guys should have heard Drew before he met me. He was a good guy. Now he's complaining about everything. Nicole?
Mm-hmm.
You're 21?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
I just explained everything to that other guy.
Oh, well, then forget it.
All right. Well, you shot your wad.
I am a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I am with a guy I've been dating for about 3.5 months, but we've known each other for 10 years. And And he kind of gave me a reality check about my job, so I put in my 30-day notice last month, and I'm moving out the end of this month to go back to school.
How old is he?
He's 21.
So you both known each other since you were 11?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the reality check he gave you?
Well, just since we've dated, he kind of, in a way, gave me an ultimatum, like, you know, quit dancing or we're done.
Yeah, but hold on, you got to give a 30-day notice at
my apartment.
Thirsty McThongbacks? At your apartment.
At my apartment, yeah, I gave a 30-day notice so I could move out.
Well, I thought you were quitting your job.
I am. I'm quitting dancing. I'm moving home to go back to school.
Okay, so you said he gave you a reality check about your job, so you gave a 30-day notice.
At
my apartment.
Talking about
move out.
Okay.
To change my life, I guess.
Are you dance at a topless place or full nude?
No, it's a full nude bar.
Uh-oh. You stinking whore! That wasn't me.
Thanks.
That wasn't me. Go
that
ahead.
That wasn't very nice.
That wasn't me.
So anyway, I leave my work there, and I don't bring my, you know, my personal life to work, vice versa. And it seems like whenever he's over here, he knows what I'm going to be doing, you know, in the next few weeks. Well, 3 weeks now. But he's always getting into it with me about my job and putting me down. And I've talked to him and I've told him it hurts my feelings. And I respect the fact of how he feels and what he says to me. But I just want to know, you know, of something I could say to him to make him realize that I am, you know, being beneficial for myself. And I'm doing this for me, but also to benefit our relationship.
Doing what?
Quitting the stripper job.
I'm changing. Basically, I'm.
But what's he putting you down? How's he putting you down?
Well, just, you know, just saying, oh, you know, how do you like it? You know, or how do you think I feel when you're at work bending over for money in front of people? You know, just little things like that. And it's, you know, I don't think about it. You know, I go there, I make my money, and I come home.
Well, but that's the problem. You don't think about the consequence and the emotional reality of what you're doing. We were talking earlier about ambulance drivers, you know, disconnecting.
Right.
It does have a price, and it is it may work for you emotionally, but those emotional...
No, it doesn't. I mean, I feel like I'm pulling my hair, you know, my hair to drag myself out the front door. I hate my job.
All right. Well, he hates it, too, and he's just expressing that to you.
Yeah, but wait a second. He's picking on her, and he knew what you did, correct?
Yeah, that's the part I don't like.
When I was 18, I've been doing it for 3.5 years.
Yeah, but what I don't like is that he takes it upon himself to change you. That's the part that's
out of line. He met you while you were doing this. I mean, you began your relationship while you were doing this, right?
Mm-hmm. And I told him at first, and he said the more, you know, we hung out, the more he started to care and the more it started to bother him.
Right.
All right.
He used to come in and visit and drink with me like on Friday nights and stuff.
Yeah,
and
right.
Yeah. All right.
You sell him those $18 mini bottles of champagne?
No. It's just like full bar.
Okay.
Red.
All right. Well, look. He's, okay. This. How old is he?
21.
Yeah. He's got
like
energy.
He's a couple months older than me.
Yeah. At 21, you've got a lot of energy as a guy.
Yeah.
And you cannot hang with this.
Yeah. I mean, if you need to make a change, you need to make change for yourself. That's right.
Well, but I'm just saying he helped me with that reality check to get out.
All right. Well, that's what you're doing, right?
It sounds like you both want the same thing.
The thing that bothers me is he realizes I'm making these changes but still reams me.
Well, how many more weeks of stripping do you have ahead of you?
3.
Mm. Well, here's the deal.
I need money to move out, you know, to move out to get started in, you know, at my parents' with bills and
all right, the fact, though, that you've chosen this line of work suggests that you have issues with men. Let's just sort of put it that way. And the kind of guy that you're going to be attracted to is someone that's probably going to be abusive, frankly. And this is not surprising that this guy would, you know, the guy you would be attracted to would engage in this sort of demeaning behaviors, in my opinion. And so that's
right.
Just what you go for.
Nicole, try not to dance with him.
No.
Tell him you're getting out of this.
Yeah, set limits, boundaries. Like,
and
you know, tell him
that you feel like he's picking on you. Mm-hmm. And don't engage him. I mean, don't get into it with him.
Right.
I think he wants to get into it.
I never say anything. I leave it there, and then, we'll go. You know, we'll go out back and have a couple drinks, and then, you know, he starts opening up about, you know, just the same thing over and over and over.
He's not opening up. He's on drugs now. He's done alcohol, and he's starting to just get loose.
Oh, Drew, please.
Well, listen,
stop knocking alcohol. It's my mistress. Please.
But you know,
look,
he wouldn't be doing that on pot.
No. No, he'd like, I'm going to make a note to abuse you when I'm drunk tomorrow.
That's
but right now, I got to mellow out. 21-year-old guys. I don't think anyone should date 21-year-old guys. Think of all that energy.
We agreed with that last week.
Yeah. I was even miserable as a 21-year-old guy dating somebody. Like, I felt that I had too much energy.
Yeah.
Too much testosterone. You cared too much. It was like, you know, I mean, you ruin your own life as a guy in his young, in his early 20s dating.
You're right. We should be giving estrogen vitamins to all males.
I should have, yeah.
No, all men need estrogen.
Yeah, just a temporary gender reassignment
For a few years.
All the guys, prior to 25.
Yeah,
let it
turn back on after that.
Yeah, because it's like...
Once you know something.
I mean, you remember this feeling? You were like 21, 22 years old. You're over at your girlfriend's house, and she went out for a couple hours, and for some reason, you were just left alone in her condo in her apartment or something like that.
Oh.
You sit around, you watch TV for about 20 minutes, and then it's like... I wonder if she's got a yearbook or something. Then, you know, open the closet. There's the photo album. Open the photo album. There's her arm around a guy at the prom.
And you're freaked.
Oh, I bet you didn't that night, didn't you, honey? Yeah. You two all coked up. Probably gave him a nice BJ, didn't you? Probably did the coke right off his dick. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you did. Oh, yeah. And then you get all worked up, but you realize you're doing something wrong. You hear the car pull up the driveway, so you slam shut, you put everything away. Now you're just sitting there watching TV. And she's like, what do you want for dinner? And you're like, you coke whore. You're thinking to yourself, you know? But you answer, pizza. But somehow you're going to get into it. It ain't going to take long. Somehow you're going to go for what you want for dinner to who you were blowing before you met me, and somehow I'm gonna feather into that conversation because I got some energy going, man. Now you don't care, right, girl? Your wife could come home, a broken off penis could be stuck in her ass with like a trail of blood. You'd be like, hey, you didn't get that in on the seat of the Explorer, did you? All right, because geez, I'm gonna have to wipe that down. The goddamn TiVo's on the fritz, you know? All right. We'll right take a little break. We'll be back.
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
A relief to talk about Loveline stuff.
Yeah, but anyway, Dr. Drew, I have a serious question for you.
Yeah.
I have a friend. He's a college student. You know, he's pretty responsible and stuff. Dabbles a little bit of partying and, you know, marijuana or what have you, and he's not an IV drug user, but my question is, he wants to donate blood, right?
And you're going to have to be a little clear with me. There's quite a fair distance between somebody that parties a little bit and someone who's an IV drug user.
Well, I just wanted to say that to clarify that in case he wanted to, like, reference to that point to where it was safe for anyone that, you know, donates blood and uses.
I see.
Drugs.
So the fact that he's not using a needle would make him safe for blood donation. Okay.
Yeah. Would the recipient be safe for it if there was no choice but to use his blood?
If he'd been using drugs recently?
Yeah, like the last 2 or 3 days or...
Depends what drugs. If it's...
Maybe marijuana, maybe meth or coke. Like, let's say he did some, like, yesterday and he wanted to go in tomorrow.
No, that's no good. That's no good.
How long would that person have to wait? Up to a month?
I would think a couple of weeks. But, I'd have to check with Red Cross about that. But I personally would want at least a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay.
Well, isn't coke out of your
Coke's
blood
out pretty
system
fast.
Pretty fast?
Amphetamines leave... Amphetamines could be up to 3, 4, 5 days even sometimes.
Wouldn't that just be a little high-octane blood worked in with your boring blood?
If you had nothing else going.
Gas additive. You know, you just dump a quart in the tank. It mixes in with the other gas.
Dan is asking a philosophical question. If we really were short of blood, wouldn't it be okay
to take the Hescher blood in a pinch.
Hescher blood. Right.
Adam's on my wavelength about this.
That'd be funny, though. You take it, and it's like all of a sudden you want to go longboarding. I'm going to get a corn dog and do some longboarding and blow work off today. So, you've never missed a day of work.
So 2 weeks is the norm to wait.
Well, I don't know what the official
would pot stay, would be in your bloodstream longer?
Oh yeah.
So I mean, pot would be the longest, right?
Yeah,
but he wouldn't be stoned. Let's say, he wouldn't have, let's say he did get the blood donation and he
wouldn't
got,
be high levels, you're saying.
Yeah, and he got tested for drugs or whatever, you know, just out of the blue or whatever, like if he was going about his business.
Could be up to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In his blood. But anyway.
They don't ask that many questions about that.
I don't think
They want to know if you're IV
Yeah.
I've been recently pierced her tattoo.
Right. That's right.
They have viruses and all.
Yeah, so go ahead. And what about that? I mean, what if a guy was really baked and, I mean, he just did a bong load in the waiting room kind of thing?
It may not make a big difference.
It took a quart of his blood.
I don't know.
And would it sit in his blood? Would that blood remain unchanged? You know what I mean? If they put it in a freezer for 5 years, would it come out with the same? Well, there's nothing to really filter it, is there? I mean, it's not moving through.
No.
What do you have, like 7 quarts in you?
More than, quite a bit more than that.
Quite a bit more?
Yeah.
Why did I always hear that?
11.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm thinking of my car.
Yeah.
Hey, 11 quarts, you think?
I'm going to have to look that up. I think 11.
Man, I thought it was less than that.
No, it's more than that.
That's if you. Now, is that with wringing all of your organs or just actual
circulating
blood? All right, let's. Hey, does a 250-pound guy have 2 more quarts than a 150-pound guy?
I think it's considered a 70-kilogram man, and it's not by quart. It's a strange measurements. I mean, it's pints, really, we're talking about here.
Oh, yeah, when I keep saying quarts, I mean pints. Yeah, all right. I'm not a doctor, by the way. Yeah, how many 40s?
How many 40s of blood?
All right, we're going to hear something from the new live CD, which is out September 18th. And this one is called Simple Creed. New CD out September 18th. Drew?
Yep.
You all right there?
Yep.
Drew's got the dictionary out, but can find no answer to his question. Joey?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah, I had a question for Ed really quick.
Hey.
But first what I wanted to say is, Adam, you're a great man and a great comedian.
Thank
I watched
you.
The Man Show tonight. It was pretty good.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Dr. Drew, very, very smart man. And Ed, your passion for music, it just impresses me.
Thank you.
Yes, and I had a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, well, first I want to say I saw you guys about a year ago in Cincinnati. You played with Counting Crows and a band, I think they were called Galactica.
Yeah, Galactic, yeah.
Galactic, I'm sorry. Yeah, but I just want to say it was a great show.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I had a question. How did you get the name for the CD, Throwing Copper?
Oh, well, you know, as most of our records go, we I'm terrible at naming them, and so we always end up in the 11th hour and have to sort of name it right away or else the record gets bumped. So Throwing Copper was no different, and we were into this goofy juvenile phase. Actually, not juveniles at the time, we were 23, but we had BB guns backstage. We had sent the tour manager out, we were really bored, and we're shooting stuff backstage, cans and mirrors, and causing all kinds of damage. And our manager walked in and said, hey, why don't you guys put the BB guns down and, you know, name the album? And we said, well, we're just back here throwing copper, you know, around, throwing some copper around, just kind of being funny.
Oh,
and we picked it.
That's pretty good.
Kind of, you know, yeah, real deep name.
I would have thought I was like pitching pennies or something. Or
pennies, it kind of.
You know, it's one of these things, though, that's a little ambiguous but sounds important.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It sounds like it could almost catch on. Like, you guys are sitting around throwing copper, I'm busting my ass up here. And it just sounds like,
yeah.
I don't know,
it could mean goofing off or
shooting the ass or,
yeah.
It's
know.
Good.
Some weird alchemical thing or something. Yeah.
Well, I just want to say, like, all your songs, like, I read in the lyrics, and they're all, like, so incredibly deep.
Well, they're mostly about BB guns.
Yeah. Well, like, me and my friend were driving through Minnesota, and we would just, like, interpret your songs. And like give different perspectives on what we thought different stuff meant.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
Like from one of the songs on Distance to Here, Dolphins Cry.
Dolphins Cry.
The phoenix rises up from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did you mean by that? Exactly.
Well, that's an old myth.
He coined that phrase about 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, that's an original right out of the mind of Ed. No, that's a well, the song, you know, the whole thing's about coming, sort of a new beginning, and that's an ancient myth about the, you know, the phoenix bird coming out of the ashes of its own, you know, demise or whatever, and, you know, it's like all that.
It's nice, though. You get credit for that.
Yeah. Maybe I did. Maybe it's a reincarnation thing. Maybe it was my story. I don't know.
Hey, thanks for the question there, Joey. We're going to take a break. Ed has had to leave because he's got to get up early for a while. Well, I wasn't informed that you had to leave.
I got to go to. I think I got to fly, and apparently you got to get there early.
3 hours early. Yeah.
3 hours.
Yeah. Good luck.
Is it really? Is it really 3 hours early?
You know what they're advising. I don't know what that means or why, but we won't know until any of us fly.
But remember, but couldn't we send some stooge out to experiment for us? Yeah. Us important people.
Three just sounds ridiculous. I mean, three is just crazy.
What is it? What is it you're slogging through for 2 hours?
That's my question. Right. That's
well. I guess the whole idea of you can't park at the airport, you have to be shuttled in,
or is it that they're going to go through every suitcase, and so the ticket, you know, that check-in line for the luggage is going to be, you know, an hour. Well, and then the security is going to be an hour.
But here's the thing, too. They always talked about international flights winning there a couple hours early. We always ignore that one, didn't we? I mean, you're flying to Canada. You don't show up 2 hours early. You show up 35, 40 minutes early if you're not checking on a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. I suggest you do the same thing tomorrow.
You know what? I think I might.
All right. Hey, thanks for coming in. It was nice.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Nice having you on the show.
My pleasure.
And when you go home tonight, I want you to look out your balcony and find my house.
I'll send you some sort of Morse code for whatever.
I'm going to put a candle in the window.
And an invite for a big old, you know, hoopla.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. We'll take a break and we'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Ed Kowalczyk has left the building from live. I never met him before, but seemed like a very nice guy.
Very much. Yeah.
Well, actually, was a very nice guy. I really has a good good energy.
Yep.
Good vibe about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Just seemed comfortable in his own skin, which is always nice because people that are uncomfortable in their skin make you uncomfortable in your skin. It becomes part of their mission.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
There was another. Who do we have in here from a successful band that's been around for a long time? So we had a similar vibe about. Remember this?
Yeah, that was Ike Turner.
Stone Temple Pilots, yeah.
Oh, Scott Weiland?
No, Scott wasn't here that night. Remember, it was the other two guys.
Oh, yeah.
And we had the same kind of vibe from them. Scott was here, too, that night?
Yeah.
That's right, he came late.
Here's the thing I've learned from doing this show. You would think that people's attitude would have a direct correlation with the amount of records they've sold.
Right.
The ones who've sold the most records would be the biggest a-holes, because they could be. And the ones that sold the least records would be the coolest. But I've found it was the inverse oftentimes. The folks that have had some success, the guys you know, the songs you've heard, the albums that have been sold, and the platinum albums, those guys are pretty cool most of the time.
Especially the ones that stay around for a long time.
Yeah. So I guess there's a reason. And they're happy, Mike.
Yes.
You're 18. What's up?
I've kind of slept with my roommate's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know how I should break it to him.
Why would you?
Well, I mean, I wake up every day to him, and it's starting to get a little bit hard to bear with.
Well, this is why I don't believe this call.
Yeah, I don't either.
There's no motivation here.
Yeah, what's in it for you beside a black eye?
A black eye, and I got to, like, sleep across the room with him, and I'm not sure what he would do to me.
Well, that's my point. You think he's going to find out?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there are people on our floor know about it, and some of them might tell him.
When you say on your floor, you mean people are just standing on the ground? Or
no, I'm in the dorm.
Or the people that are listening to the radio blaring right now that you have going in the background.
Yeah.
Another vote against this being a real call.
Sorry, Mike, we're not buying it. But it was a good try. And if it is a true call, don't tell him.
Well, he needs to break up with that girlfriend. And if you want to support him, get him to do that.
Right. But don't tell him.
The fact that you were the a-hole that perpetrated the disaster, I'm not so sure you get much out of that.
Maria?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
About a week ago, me and my boyfriend, we had sex. And it was the first time for us. Mm-hmm. And, I was drinking and I was smoking.
Was that the first time for you ever?
No.
All right.
And, we were having sex at his house and nobody was there. And I told him to stop. And he didn't. And I pushed on his arm, and he didn't still.
Why did you want him to stop?
I don't know. I just got this feeling that I just needed to stop.
How long did he not stop for?
For like 5 minutes.
Yeah. And but he was in you already, right?
Yeah.
When you asked him to stop?
Yeah.
And did you did he hold your hands down or anything?
No, I just pushed on him, and I just got really scared, and so I just kind of laid there, and I don't know, but I broke out with him, and I just got really scared, and now I'm even afraid to talk to him.
Why? What scared you so much?
I don't know. Like, a year and a half ago, I was arrested.
Right.
There we go.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, so you've been a victim before, and I bet you're even a victim before that.
Yeah.
So now the question is this guy a victimizer?
Or did you
sort of make him a victimizer?
Do you understand that differentiation? That he really didn't understand what he was, the impact he was having, and you didn't kind of communicate that to him? And
I don't think he knew what, like, he was doing anything wrong.
Do you think he's a bad guy?
No, I just think, I don't even know what to think right now.
Well, I think he's probably a good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't want to defend the guy too much.
Yeah.
But you wanted to get away from this guy. I think you were looking for an excuse to break up with this guy.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
And this is just what I've learned from, living on this planet for 37 years. Well, that's hard to count the first 5 years. I didn't really know that much about the human condition, females.
I have known more than any
rape
time.
And that kind of stuff.
Who knows?
But I suspect, and I think Drew does, that he's a nice guy, and you can't tolerate that, and you're looking to get out of this.
Yeah, see, I haven't really been good with relationships.
Right.
Of course, you were
abused. Because of what's happened to you in the past.
And I would expect you'd pick guys that were perpetrators or experienced guys that weren't as perpetrators, as abusive to you.
How old is this guy?
He's 18.
Is he a decent guy?
Yeah.
Has he ever done anything beside this to you?
No.
Well, you want out, and you can't explain why.
But that's okay at 16. She needs to be out of a relationship.
Those are all those old feelings. Have you gotten any therapy?
I had therapy for about maybe 7 or 8 months altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Get back to it. Get back at it. It's really hard to assess this situation. He may have been. He may be a perpetrator sometime. We can't tell. He may be a not-so-good guy. He may have ignored
I think she just wants out.
I think that's a reasonable theory, but we don't know because her radar's bent. We can't tell what's going on with her.
Lexi?
Yes.
28?
Yes.
You think about donating an egg?
Yes, I was thinking about egg donation.
So
I'm contemplating it.
All right, well,
I guess my question is for Dr. Drew. I've found a lot of information on the positive and the good and the pros of it all, but I've been having trouble finding anything about the negative side or the cons to it.
It's a procedure, and it has potential complications, though they're very rare. And it's various ways of hyperstimulating your ovary and then sucking the eggs out once there are multiple egg follicles on the ovary. And we really don't know the long-term effects, whether it would increase the risk of ovarian cancer or any other premature ovarian failure or other things that might be significant to you. We don't know. So the negatives really aren't known yet.
All right, we're running late. But Lexi,
yes.
Did you just want to give it up, or is there someone you have in mind to give it to?
No, I have no one in mind.
And you don't want to sell it?
Yeah.
Well, depending on the clinic you go to, I think there's some monetary.
Okay, so you're looking to sell an egg.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, she said donate, and I just wanted to make sure everyone knew she was a bad person.
Fair enough.
All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back.
Okay.
Well, there you go. I want to thank Ed Kowalczyk for coming in here from live, and he's been a very thoughtful guy.
Yep.
Really got a good vibe off him.
Yep.
And wish him much success. Live, the CD is 5. That'll be out September 18th. You can go on www.friendsalive.com to find out the school tour dates and schedule and all that kind of good stuff. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. You two all coked up. Probably gave him a nice beach day, didn't you? Probably did the coke right off his dick. Yeah.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.